are thankful for all that the Lord has done. Let's thank him. Father, we thank you so much in this camp meeting that you've been with us, the anointing has been with us, the revelations have been with us, the harmony and agreement and the blessings are upon us. We thank you for every person under the sound of our voice today around the world. This camp meeting is going and we're working with the supernatural. We thank you for our speaker today, my oldest son. Thank you for his wife, his family. And we just give you the glory and just speak to us, Lord, and just be with the people. Give them ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts to understand. We thank you for all the support, all the people in the background that is helping make this possible. We praise you and honor you this morning for let your word go forth in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, with great pleasure this morning, my oldest son, Leroy Jr., he's wearing my name. And then he married Chantel, who has become a daughter. And then there's Lauren and Layla, his daughters, who've been right here in the ministry, carrying themselves right. I see him reduplicating my life with his family. You know what I'm saying? He followed suit, and his wife is submissive to him, just like mom is submissive to me. It's a great thing to watch. Many people don't have that experience that I'm having, the word is paying off for the dividends that God given me and my family. Leroy Jr. had been with me in ministry since he was a baby. I've been in ministry 47 years. Leroy, you 40 what? 45, all those years. He never went out in another career. He just stood there and undergirded me. That's why he's able to stand so strong today. I'm proud of him, and I've heard him minister before. I know he can minister the word. He just paid attention, and he always elevated me and his mom. He's in the background, will make it work. That's where all my children is. And so Leroy is ready for his calling. And so I want you to welcome him this morning as he comes and minister the word of God.
All right, sir. All right, you got it. Appreciate it. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Apostle prayed. We're going to get right to work. Get right to work and see what God is going to say this morning. This week has been a wonderful week, awesome week. It's awesome to be preaching along with people that you love. It makes preaching a whole lot easier. This morning, first of all, did you look up the word transfigure? Did you look the word up? For those of you that didn't look the word up, I looked it up for you. Here's what it means to be transfigured: to give a new and typically exalted or spiritual appearance. Watch this: to be transformed into something more beautiful and elevated. Yes, sir. So last night, your life has been beautifully elevated. Beautifully elevated. You're not on the same level. Whether you know it or not, you're not on the same level. Yes, sir. If you don't understand it, I don't know if I can help you this morning. Where are we going to go? I'm going to touch a subject that's very familiar, but I've discovered that this particular word or this particular subject is what gives us entrance into the supernatural. Let me cover a few things first. Number one, here's what I want to talk about this morning. Don't be distracted. Do not be distracted. We have a lot of stuff going on around us in our world, in our country, and in our world. But don't be distracted. This is not the last pandemic we're going to have. So we as the body of Christ, we have to begin to prepare ourselves. This particular pandemic that we're in now is a shot across the bow to get our attention. This is a field test to get our attention so that we can be prepared. So there's three things. Watch this. As Christians, as the body of Christ, that we need to be focused on. Don't be distracted. Yes, sir. All right? Don't be distracted. This is three things that we have to focus on so that we as Christians can be better prepared for when the next pandemic happens, the church will be positioned to take territory.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
First thing is you must become a better kingdom citizen. Mm-hmm. A better of kingdom of God, a better kingdom of heaven citizen. That's what we're going to focus on this morning. The second thing you're going to have to happen, what you're going to have to do is keep and or improve your health. You're going to have to keep and or improve your health. You're going to begin to follow a God-given diet. Eat what God tells you to eat. Stop eating what God tells you to stop eating so that you can keep your health intact. You are ineffective in the kingdom of God if you have no energy. And the third thing, you're going to have to master your stewardship. You're going to have to master your stewardship. Turn me to Romans, the 12th chapter. See, because what I need you to understand, watch this, there's some things I'm about to read to you. What I need you to understand, this is not the last pandemic. And what I want you to understand about this pandemic and all the chaos that we have in our system, number one, it's not about the color of your skin.
Yes, sir.
The confusion and chaos is not about the color of your skin. This is not about economics. The world system wants you to think it's about economics, but is it not about economics? Does Satan want you to think it's about economics? Satan wants you to think it's about the color of your skin. It's not about economics. It's not about economics, but the system, the world system, and Satan wants you to think it's about economics, who the haves and haves not. That's what it's not about. See, this is why God set a system in place for we as Christians that we can prosper. That's why Apostle been teaching on money coming. That's why you see all the scriptures in the Bible talk about finances. All the scriptures in the Bible talk about what you should have, how much you should have. What this is about, it's very simple. This is about Satan wanting to be God and trying to use God's most precious creations to do it.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
That's what it is. It is Satan wanting to be God and trying to use his most precious creations to do it.
That's right.
Don't be distracted. It's not about the color of your skin. It's not about what side of the tracks you were born on. It doesn't matter if you're born on the left or the right side of the tracks. When you become a kingdom citizen, everything that God has designed for you, God said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Satan is simply trying to be God by using his most precious gifts and his greatest creation as the weapon. There is only one race.
Yes, sir.
The human race.
Yes, sir.
So if there's only one race, the human race, then let me introduce you to the original racist. The original racist is Satan.
Yes, sir.
Because he didn't like the human race. Why he doesn't like the human race? He doesn't like the human race because the human race was designed to be like God, and he couldn't stand it, and he can't stand it. He can't stand you.
Yes, sir.
So he's the original racist. So if he's the original race, if he is the original racist, he is the original slave owner.
Yeah.
All right, let's take this scenario then. Let's take this scenario. He's the original racist. He's the original slave owner. So a slave owner does not exist without slaves.
Right.
So let's say if I can get one of my slaves, this is Satan thinking, if I can get one of my slaves to put his knee in the neck of another slave. Then I can get some of my other slaves to begin to act chaotic and try to cause confusion. Don't you be distracted.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Romans, the 12th chapter. Watch this. Romans, the 12th chapter. I'm going to read it out of the Passion Bible, but I'm going to have it in the King James also. Romans, the 12th chapter, the first verse. Let me read out the King James Version first so it's very familiar. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Here's verse 3. Here's what I want you to pay attention to. For I say, through the grace given unto me, this is Apostle Paul's talking. Apostle Paul's talking, through the authority that was given to me by God, I'm going to tell you this. To every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according, listen to this, as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Let me read this out of the Passion Translation. Verse 1, beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? I encourage you to surrender yourselves to God to be his sacred living sacrifice and live in holiness and experience in all that delights his heart. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship. Verse 2. Now remember verse 2 in the King James Version. It said, be not conformed. Verse 2 in the Passion Bible says, stop imitating the ideas and opinions of the culture around you. But be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit. Watch this. Remember what Bishop Robinson said? Through a total reformation of how you think. Now watch what the Passion Bible says. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. You'll be able to discern. That's a key word. The word there that the King James Word uses, prove. So you can prove the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, or you can recognize or discern. How that happens? When you begin to be transformed inwardly by how you think. How you transfer inwardly, but how you think, renewing your mind with the word of God so that you don't conform to what's on the outside. Stop following the ideas of the culture.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Verse 3. God has given me grace. This is Apostle Paul talking. God has given me grace to speak a warning about pride. I would ask each of you to be emptied of self-promotion and not create a false image of your importance. Instead, honestly assess your worth by using your God-given faith. Your worth is determined by your God-given faith as the standard of measurement. And then you will see your true value with an appropriate self-esteem. The King James Version said God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So faith has to be what governs our what we think about ourselves. So now if faith governs how we ought to think about ourselves, then we can't make no mistake about what faith is. Put it to you like this. This morning, we're going to reprioritize our faith. We have been taught that faith is what brings in objects. And guess what? It does. But that's not all what faith does, and that is not the original purpose or the original intent of faith.
Yes, sir. Come on, sir.
All right, the best thing I can give you is a hammer. A hammer can be used for a multiplicity of things. I've seen a hammer break out of glass. I've heard negatively, I've heard people use hammers to hurt somebody else. I've seen hammers used as a wedge. I've seen hammers used to tear things down. But the original purpose of a hammer is to hit a nail.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Drive a nail in. Yeah. Now, you can use a hammer for all those other things. Mm-hmm. But eventually, if you keep using it for all those other things, you'll forget what its original purpose is for.
Yes,
see, we've been using faith for all sorts of things, but we forgot what the original purpose of faith is. Go with me to Hebrews 11th chapter. So faith, why are you going to Hebrews 11th chapter? Let me, God spoke to me one time, and I don't have time to get into all this. There's a bunch of other messages I've preached on faith that you can hear this. The Lord spoke to me one time and said, every time you see the word faith, replace it with the word assignment. So now you see in Romans 12 and 3, it says, God has dealt to every man the measure of faith, specific, the measure of faith, or their part of faith, or their part of the assignment. So God has given each one of us a specific assignment. The Bible says four times, four different places, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by assignment. Habakkuk 2 and 4 says particularly, the just shall live by his faith. The just shall live by his assignment. So the way you prove out if what I'm saying is truth, everywhere you see the word faith, replace it with the word assignment. Everywhere. And watch how the Bible opens up to you. Now let's go to Hebrews 11 and 1. Hebrews 11 and 1. Watch this. Now, remember now, we have to understand the original purpose of faith. We're about to find out the original purpose of faith. Yeah, faith can produce what you want. Faith can do some other things, but we must understand the original purpose of faith. If we don't understand the original purpose of faith, we'll run into roadblocks when we try to get faith to do other things. Watch this. Hebrews 11 and 1. Now my assignment is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, in this present moment, my assignment is the substance of things hoped for. My assignment is the stuff or the genetic makeup of some future plans and goals. That's what hope is. So my assignment is the makeup of some future plans or goals. So now we got to ask ourselves these questions. Because based on how we've been taught in the past about faith, we think it's talking about our hope. This is not talking about our hope. This is talking about a supernatural hope as compared to a natural hope. In other words, this is talking about supernatural plans rather than natural plans. So supernatural, whose hope are we talking about? Verse 6 is going to help us discover this. Look at verse 6. It says, but without my assignment, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So now if my assignment is what pleases God, then when I go back to the first verse and says, now my assignment is the substance of things hoped for, that hope has to be the plans of God. So faith's original purpose is to bring the dreams of God to pass. Hold on, hold your seat. The original purpose of faith is to bring the dreams of God to pass. Future goals, future plans. My faith or my assignment brings to reality God's hopes and dreams. That's why it's impossible for me to please him. Because if I'm not bringing to pass his dreams and his hopes, I'm displeasing him. So what happens is we've been taught that faith, we've been taught one aspect of faith, that faith brings in stuff. But that's not, yeah, faith does bring in stuff, but the original purpose and an easier way to walk in our assignment, our faith, is to bring to pass the dreams of God. So faith is the doorway to the supernatural. If you read the further down the 11th chapter, you'll see they say, by faith, Abraham. By faith, Noah. Watch this. Watch this now. The only reason why the Red Sea opened, which was a supernatural act, was because Moses and the children of Israel showed up to the Red Sea. They were following the voice of God. The only reason why the lions' mouths were shut, which was a supernatural act from God, the only reason why the lions' mouths were shut for Daniel is because Daniel was obeying God. The only reason why God took burn out of fire and smoke out of fire was because Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego was being obedient to God, bringing his dreams to pass. The only reason why, listen at me now, the only reason why King Jehoshaphat and those that will follow him was able to gather spoils for 3 days is because their eyes were on him.
Yes, sir.
Don't be distracted.
Come on, sir.
So we understand that now faith, my faith or my assignment brings to reality the dreams of God. So because Abraham left his mother and father, it began to bring to reality the dreams of God. Most people don't even understand Matthew's the first chapter. They don't understand Matthew's the first chapter. Matthew's first chapter, you start reading Matthew's first chapter, you see the whole lineage. And when you read the whole lineage, you see that it began with Abraham and it ended with Jesus. So you mean to tell me that because Abraham was going after God, he was the initiator of Jesus coming to the earth? How many future plans of God are you stopping because your faith is about you? Remember now, Satan is the original racist. He is the original slave owner. He wants to distract you off of what your original purpose is so that he can get you to participate in his system. Because he wants to be God. But our faith gives us access into the supernatural. Watch this. Your faith is your access into the supernatural, but your obedience opens the door for you to walk through it. Your faith is just a doorway. But your obedience opens the door and allows you to walk through. Some of y'all still fighting with the concept that my faith is to bring in my stuff. That's what we was taught. You still fighting with that concept. Now, let me help you. Go to Matthew 6:33. Because this is Matthew 6:33 is just another faith scripture. It's faith explained a different way. Watch this, Matthew 6:33. Glory to God. Matthew 6:33. We read the 33rd verse. And we're going to read the 33rd verse. But I want you to read the 32nd verse too. So we're going to read 33 first. All right? Watch this. The first word in verse 33 is but. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That means everything, nothing else matters. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Become a better kingdom citizen. When you become a better kingdom citizen, it doesn't matter what country you're in, you're going to automatically become a better citizen of that country. Become a better kingdom citizen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his right ways of doing things.
Yes, sir.
Not what you think ought to be done, but his right way. Give me an example of what it means by his righteousness. When it comes to giving, we all know that giving is right. So you got to sow in order to reap. But watch this. When you do it in his righteousness is when he tells you to do something specific. And you do it as compared to making up your own mind what you're going to do without his instructions.
Yeah.
It was good you gave that amount, but it wasn't his amount. That's what it means to do it in his righteousness. So it's not just seek the kingdom of God. You got to seek his ways of doing them and doing them his way right.
Right. Yes, sir.
And look at this last part. And all these things shall be added unto you. So now it seems like Jesus, in his own words, is telling us and explaining to us the original purpose of faith. God is not prioritized in my life. God is the center of my life. And everything else revolves around him. But my faith is prioritized. My faith is what God wants first and what I want comes second. Hear that? God is the center of my life. Everything else revolves around him in my life. My faith is prioritized. What God wants first, what I want comes second.
Yes, sir.
Remember now, Satan is the original racist and slave owner. Satan is dumb. But Satan is dumb because he's trying to be somebody he can't be. But he also has experience. So you by yourself can't outsmart him.
Yes, sir.
I don't care how much education you get. I don't care how many degrees you get. I don't care how many books you read. You can't outsmart Satan by yourself. This is why we have to seek God. Because God, watch this. Satan, God made him an angel. So he's not even original. Satan is not original. But the only thing he got on us is experience. He's been here longer. So anybody who's been here longer ought to know something. So you by yourself, you cannot outsmart Satan. But you with God?
Yes.
Look at it. It says, and all these things shall be added unto you. What things? For all you super spiritual people that want to start talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Start talking about all the supernatural, all the things, all the things that's just, that's not what they're talking about right here. It's not what they're talking about. Here's what they're talking about. It was a reference made. He said, and all these things shall be added unto you. What things? Verse 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. But look at what Jesus said. For your heavenly Father knows that, not that you won't, not just that you want, that ye have need of all these things. So, in other words, Jesus is saying, whatever the Gentiles are going after, whatever the Gentiles are creating, whatever is causing them to have a wonderful life or what they think is a wonderful life, any assets they got, anything that they think to make life easier, God already knows you have need of all those things. But, meaning forget all of those things and how they're getting it. Because you have to have a renewed mind. You cannot conform to this world. You can't take on the ideas of the culture. You're not going to gain assets the same way they gain assets. For your heavenly Father knows you have need of all those things. Now, let's go a little further, because see, we read the Bible and we gloss over things that makes us think. Go back up to the 25th verse. Because I need to get your mind off of stuff and on to him. Your mind off of stuff, off of your situations, off of your issues, and onto him. Because when you get your mind on him, you can clearly hear what he's asking you to do. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, for what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, or gather in the barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking your plans, can add one cubit unto his stature? I know the thoughts that I think towards you. God say, I know the thoughts. God say, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Come up to his thoughts. He said, come let us reason together in Isaiah 1 and 18. And I come let us reason together.
Yes, sir.
Renew our mind. Put our mind with him. See, remember, when we do that, there are two types of people that Satan can control. Some of y'all may be in that category. And we're going to go down to thank you, Holy Spirit. There are two types of people Satan can control. Those that are not born again and carnal Christians. You mean to tell me I'm blood-bought, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and Satan can still control me if you have a carnal mind? Yes, he can. Watch this. Let's finish reading this. And why take ye thought, verse 28, why ye take thought for the raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. Either, in other words, they're not working to be who they are, they just being who they are.
Yes, sir.
And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little assignment?
Yes, sir.
Other words, you don't recognize who you are. You're not recognizing what God called you to do. You're not recognizing your assignment.
Yeah.
Why? Because you're trying to get faith to produce what you want. Therefore, take no thought, or don't focus on, don't be distracted. Take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things the Gentiles do seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Romans, the 8th chapter. See, your faith is the doorway to the supernatural. What your assignment, your instructions from God. See, we always just limit faith to believing and trusting.
Right.
But you're believing and trusting. Like somebody say, what faith are you? They really ask you what you believe. So what they're saying is, if you believe this, you ought to be acting a certain way. If you believe this, you ought to be acting. So when you start believing something, that means you got to start acting a certain way. How you got to act? Well, what you believe.
Yeah.
So faith is believing and acting on what you believe. Believing what? Believe that God is. Believing that he's truth. Believing that he's the sovereign God. Believing that he's your El Shaddai. Believing that he's more than enough. Believing that he knows what to do when you don't know what to do.
Yep.
Believing that he is omniscient. So that if you believe that, then when he speaks, you should move. But watch this. You can't move on something you don't believe. And you can't believe somebody you don't spend time with.
Right. Wow.
Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans, the 8th chapter. Watch this. Glory to God. Romans, the 8th chapter. Let's see. Verse 4. Let's verse 3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin and condemned sin in the flesh. When Jesus died on the cross and rose on that third day, he completed a work in us that set us free from the original racist. From the original slave owner. You have your emancipation papers.
Yes, sir.
The blood of Jesus signed it at the bottom.
Yes.
So that means if you have the emancipation papers from the blood of Jesus, you don't need nobody else's emancipation papers.
Yep. Wow. That's right.
I knew that went over some of y'all head. They went over some of y'all head. Because you're still stuck on your color.
Yep, yep, yep.
When Apostle was talking and said, I'm not a nigger,
yep, yep.
I'm not Negro,
uh-huh.
I'm not black,
uh-huh.
I'm not colored, I'm not a slave. When he said those things, that's truth.
Yep.
You are letting another slave tell you who you are. This is why Jeremiah 17 and 5 is so important. You can't trust in man.
Right.
Another slave telling you who you are. No. I don't ignore the pigmentation of my skin. I don't ignore it. The best way I can explain it is this. I don't ignore the existence of other women. They are there. But they just not as important to me as Chantel.
Right.
I don't ignore the existence of my skin color.
Uh-huh.
It's just not that important to me.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
I don't ignore other women. Other women that exist. I don't ignore them. They exist. But they just not that important to me.
Yeah.
Chantel is important. I don't exist the color of my skin. It's just not that important to me. Who I am in Christ is what's important to me. So when that becomes important to you, then it doesn't matter what any other slaves say. Because I'm no longer in that category of slavery.
Right.
I have my emancipation papers signed in the blood of Jesus.
Glory to God.
So therefore, that's why my life can be transfigured. This is why I can walk in the supernatural. Because now I have access to my God, my Father, who now downloads stuff to me to do that brings me above the fray.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yes, sir.
That's what calls me to be able to walk through crowds like Jesus, and they want to get me, but they can't touch me.
Yeah. Yes,
that's why I can walk through life and certain people who don't like me. I don't really know why they don't like me, nor do I care why they don't like me, but they can't do me nothing. Watch this. Verse 5. Romans 8, verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind or focus on the things of the flesh. But they that are after the spirit focus or have their mind on the things of the spirit. Now listen to this. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be spiritually what? Minded. Remember what the passage Bible says. I can't be picking up on the ideas of the culture. They're carnally minded. They're dead to Christ. They're slaves. They're being ruled by the god of this world. So why me being redeemed gonna get ideas from them? My ideas have to come from my creator.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
This is why we got to repurpose our faith. That's why we got to reprioritize our faith. Your faith is not about you getting stuff. Your faith is about bringing the dreams, bringing past the dreams of God. I hope you're listening to me. So here we're about to read another faith scripture. Some of y'all didn't think it was a faith scripture because you didn't see the word faith, but here's another faith scripture. Verse 8. Let's read verse 7 first. But because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So a carnal mind can't bring to pass the dreams of God. So wait a minute, let's put this together. If I can't bring to pass the dreams of God, then I can't please him. If I can't please him, he's not a rewarder. Ain't gonna be no things added to me. I'm gonna have to struggle and toil to get what I want. Watch this. Sometimes we force faith to give us stuff. So here's how I know when I can always look at anybody and I know when they force faith to give them stuff. Because if you struggle to maintain or keep it after you get it,
yes, sir.
Because according to Matthew, the 11th chapter, in the 28th verse, Jesus began to tell us, let's switch burdens.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Take my yoke upon you.
Yep.
For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Yep.
So therefore, anytime I ask you to do something, all the results or fruit that comes from it is going to be easy to handle, easy to enjoy, and easy to maintain.
Yes, sir.
So if I get something and I'm struggling to keep it or maintain it, then it probably didn't come from God.
Yep.
That was God. And we're going to go to an example there. When you force faith to do something.
Yes, sir.
And I'm going to take one of your favorite passages or stories in the Bible to do it. Now watch this. Verse 8. Verse 8 say, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So therefore, when you out there acting like the other slaves, when you're thinking like the other slaves, yes, you are blood bought. Yes, you are on your way to heaven. Yes, you have been dipped in the water. And you have been cleansed. But if you keep thinking like the slaves, you're going to behave and get results like the slaves.
Yep. Yes, sir.
See, I hope I have some of those who are not born again. I hope some of them just get upset and get born again. You ain't going to call me no slave. Right. If you're not born again, you're a slave of Satan.
Yep. Yep.
And he uses you like he want to use you. That's why you got so much trouble in your life. That's why you can't figure out the answers. Because he is the author of confusion. He's going to keep you running around in circles. And you born again Christians, those of you that don't want to renew your mind and you don't want to yield to what God has for you to do, you're going to be just like the slaves. Oh, you're going to get to heaven. You're going to walk on streets of gold there, but you ain't going to have no gold down here. I'm almost finished. Go with me to Hebrews, the 4th chapter. I'm almost finished. You're going to have to listen to some of this over again because I've said some stuff that went over your head. You're going to have to hear this again because when I talk about prioritizing your faith, we've been taught now, there's nothing wrong with those teachings. It's just that now we're in an apostolic mode. And so we have to put it in its right priority.
Right. Yes, sir.
In Hebrews, the 10th chapter, the 38th verse, I think it is, it says, you have need of patience. That after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. After you've done the will of God. Not before. After. This is why Jesus, Luke 16, Jesus, and see, it don't matter where you begin. Jesus said in Luke 16, if you're faithful, full of faith, full of assignment, if you're full of God's instructions where you are, then I know you're going to be full of God's instructions. If you can hear the voice of God and execute what he wants you to do where you are now, then that's the test. When you pass that, then he knows he can promote you. That's the law of promotion. Don't worry about where you are. Just start hearing the voice of God where you're at. Start operating in true faith where you are. Okay, God, okay. So how do I start where I'm at? You know, I got trouble all around me. Things ain't working out like I needed to work out. Where do I start? It's very simple. Watch this, Hebrews the fourth chapter. Hebrews the fourth chapter and the 16th verse, because I'm about to mess up some of y'all with this scripture. Because based on what we've been taught, when we read, let us therefore boldly, we don't understand that word boldly. So we come in there and we start talking all the noise we want, quoting scriptures. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, da-da-da-da-da, in the name of Jesus. All right? This is where you start. Watch this. You are a blood-bought child of God. Blood-bought child. Blood-bought child of God. Not a blood-bought adult of God. You are a blood-bought child of God. So this, watch this, let's read this. Here's where you, if you need to get in the supernatural, this is easy. This way it begins. This way it begins right here. Luke 4 and 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. The throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace or empowerment to help in the time of need. So in order for me to access the supernatural, my faith is the doorway. So for me to access the supernatural or to be able to walk in the supernatural, I have to walk through the door of faith. I can't walk through the door of faith if I don't locate where that door is. So if I can't locate where that door is, if I want to get to the supernatural acts of God, see, the supernatural and the supernatural acts of God is a matter of you. It's depending on what you do. Because you're born again, you're a blood-bought child of God, you have automatic access to the supernatural. You have automatic access to the supernatural. This is how you have access to the supernatural. You come boldly into the throne room of grace so you can obtain mercy and find grace in the time of need. All right, so now your faith is the doorway. Remember what I said opens it? Obedience. Your obedience. So if my obedience opens the door, my disobedience closes the door. All right? Are you with me? So now I boldly come to the throne of grace. God, let me discover this door into the supernatural. I boldly. Now here's where we get messed up at. Because of how we've been taught about faith in the past, right. We take this word boldly out of context. When it talks about coming boldly, let me give you an example. This happens a lot, usually during the holidays. I'm mostly responsible for getting the meats and all the things we're going to put on the grill. I get that together. And so we're always at my parents' house. We're grilling at their house. So usually I like to get started pretty early in the morning. So I get up. And they may be in the back. On the other side of the house, they'll be in the back. But when I get to the house, it starts off, I ain't calling nobody. I'm a son. That's my parents. I ain't calling nobody. I get to the gate. I know the code to the gate. Punch the code in. Gate swing open. I drive my car in. I get to the door. I unlock the door because I got access. Right? Yes, notice I ain't called nobody. Right. I ain't called nobody to say, hey, I'm on my way. I just went over there. All right? I get inside. Ready? I get inside. I start punching the code to the alarm so it shuts the alarm off.
Yes, sir.
When they hear the alarm go off, they automatically know it's got to be somebody that knows the code.
Right.
So they don't become alarmed.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
Right? So now, because I know the code to the gate, because I know the code to the door, because I know the code to the alarm system, that doesn't mean that that's my house. So I'm not about to walk in there and start telling them what they're going to do in their house. Come on, y'all got to get this. You got to get this. I'm not going to walk in their house and begin to tell them what they're going to do in their house. Y'all need to move this. Y'all need to do this. Y'all need to put this here. We need to start doing this. We need to go there. I'm not coming there doing that. But I came in boldly. I came in boldly because I have a right. I have a right to be there. I have a right to be there. So watch this. Watch the boldness. Watch the boldness. Watch the boldness. See, let me add it. There is a respectful boldness. So I walk in. Now watch this. I walk in because I know the code. I know all the codes. I walk in. I begin to open the refrigerator to get what I need. I begin to access what I need. I don't come in there boldly talking what we're going to do. This is what we need to do. Y'all need to change this. I don't like the way this couch is. I don't like the way y'all doing this. I don't like these, what this looks like. I don't come in there with that type of boldness. That's how y'all been going to God.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
With your faith out of priority.
Yeah.
You've been going to God and instead of you confessing to get your mind right about what God can do for you, you've been trying to confess to God to try to get his mind right about what he needs to do for you.
Yeah.
That's true. Oh my God. Do you see that? So you can boldly go into the throne room of grace. Boldly go in there for what? So I can see what you want to do, God. So I can see how you want to handle this, God. I come in boldly because I have a right to be here. I have a right to go into the throne room of grace that other slaves don't have. So if I don't ask, so it's stupid of me to have access to a throne room of grace and not access it and be outside acting like everybody else. Remember now, don't be distracted. Don't be distracted. Don't be out there with the other slaves. You got things you need to focus on. You need to focus on becoming a better kingdom citizen. You need to focus on keeping or improving your health. You need to become a master of your finances. Become a master steward.
Yes, sir.
You don't have time to be out there with everybody else fighting about stuff that don't really matter. Because at the end of the day, you ain't going to change nobody's heart. Only God can change their heart. You have to Lord, you have to see God as the Lord of Sabaoth. What that mean? He the one that's gonna fight my battles. He the one that's gonna take care of who are trying to mess over me. But the problem is he can't do it because you're trying to do it. Because you haven't come to the throne room of grace. Because you came in bold and told God what you're gonna do instead of asking him what he wants to do. I'm closing with this. Go with me to Matthew's, the 14th chapter. I need to give you an example of somebody who forces faith. Give you an example of somebody who forces faith. I hope you're learning something this morning.
Yes.
let me, Matthew, the 14th chapter. Let me get there. Almost finished. Matthew, the 14th chapter. And the 22nd verse. Some of y'all know where I'm going. I'm about to mess your little passage of scripture up. I'm about to mess your little water walking power up. Yeah, oh yeah, I'm about to mess it up. Oh yeah, oh yeah. Oh yeah, a lot of y'all use this scripture because you want to get what you want. So if Peter walked on water, I can do this. All right, here we go. Here we go. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples, remember that, constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain about apart to pray. And when evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. You see that? And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. They cried out for fear, self-preservation, ego, concerned about themselves. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered and said unto him, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee and walk and bid thee to come on the water. Now here's Peter. He afraid. The storm is around. He afraid. He's already got instructions.
Right.
What were the instructions? Get in the ship and do what? Go to the other side. But when Jesus said, it is I, Peter still wanted to question him. When God gives you instructions, you still want to question him because it ain't the way you want it to be done. So it caused you hesitation. And then when stuff don't work out like you want, then you're thinking, oh God, what happened? You ain't obeyed. All right, watch this. Watch this. And he said, come. And when Peter was come out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Now watch what Jesus' response is. And Jesus immediately stretches forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little. You can't pay attention to your instructions. You can't follow directions. You can't do what I ask you to do. You got an ego. You're thinking about yourself. So you want to challenge who I am, and you want to force me to do what you want to do. So now I'll let you get out here in this water. I said come. Now you come. Now you come back hollering at me, telling my Lord Jesus, help me. See, some of y'all thought that was faith. That was not faith that Peter was operating on. That was his faith. It wasn't the faith of God.
Yes, sir.
That was his faith. Yeah. You want, I need to go further proof? Okay, let's prove it. Watch this. Because if that what Peter was supposed to do, then why did Jesus do this? Jesus said, oh, thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, and what Jesus did, put him back where I told you to go. Put you back where I told you to be. Put you back in the ship. Put you back in the ship and everything calmed down. Why everything calmed down? Because you were where you were supposed to be. If you just, I don't know who was this? Excuse me. Watch this. Faith, your faith walk is always not going to be a pretty walk. That's why 1 Peter talks about things to add to your faith. That's why the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 6 talks about the shield of faith. I'm not talking about a little shield that the King Arthur Knights of the Round Table. I'm talking about the Roman shield where it's 6 foot tall to where when you're walking in the assignment God has given you, when you're walking that assignment, your faith becomes a shield.
Yes, sir.
Your assignment becomes a shield to protect you from anything that's trying to harm you. Now, are you in the midst of battle when you have a shield? Why do you need a shield if you ain't going to battle? If you're in battle, you need a shield. So your faith shields you from what other people, other slaves are trying to do to you.
Yes, sir.
Jesus put Peter back in that ship. Jesus was walking in Mark 11 chapter. When he cursed that fig tree, Jesus gave him a lesson on faith. He said, it's simple why I cursed that fig tree. Have your assignment in God. He said, then you can say to this mountain, be thou removed. See, y'all been trying to talk to all sorts of other mountains. Jesus said, you talk to this mountain. What mountain? Mountain that's causing you not to complete your assignment.
Yes, sir.
You ain't going to be messing with all of other assignments.
Right.
You need to, all you need to be focused on the mountain that's trying to stop you from doing what God had called you to do.
Yeah.
Don't be distracted. This is not the last pandemic that we're going to face. You need to become a better kingdom citizen. How you become a better kingdom citizen? Walking in the supernatural. Prioritizing your faith. What I want comes second. What God want comes first. Becoming a master steward. We as the church need to be prepared. Listen at me closely. We as the church need to be prepared for what's coming in the future. I just told you, there's no reason to get in fear. There's no reason to be afraid of what's going on. The Bible talks about this. But your faith is your shield. Your assignment from God is what's going to protect you from all of this craziness. Get before God. Consistently spend time with him. Continue to renew your mind. Sacrifice. That means give up your dreams and take on his dreams. I promise you, your dreams for yourself is not better than his dreams for you. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can ask or dream about, according to the power that works in you. Thank you, sir.
This tremendous message. I'm not going to make your TMA listen to it three times because he can't be equal with me, but listen at it two times. And I'm serious about this. I want you to listen at it two times because revelation came forth when it comes to the point of being distracted. And one of the greatest spiritual forces that you have is faith. And if you get faith out of wax, and I think the church have to a large degree got faith out of wax about things instead of God. I wrote down here Matthew 6:33 and Hebrews 11:6 are the same verses.
Yes, sir.
And he tell you not get distracted. And I'm going to say it as a senior person, something that he probably wouldn't say, get your tail back in the ship. The supernatural is where God puts you at.
Yes,
now you can act like you being spiritual and move into another realm, but that's where I think a lot of people get in trouble at because they go ahead of God, and they don't follow the assignment of their faith. One of the things that I've been blessed over the years with, Junior preached it. My faith have been my assignment, and so therefore. In hearing all the struggles that people going through in ministry and stuff, I never had it. It just following the assignment is putting him first and loving him and spending, as Junior says, spending time with him. This is a powerful message. You need to be listening to it over and over again because I think it's going to straighten a lot of things out. I think a lot of time we have forced God and got out the assignment and step out there and then we start sinking. And thank God he caught him, but he had to rebuke him too. See what I'm saying? And then I like the statement, the revelation is he questioned who God was or who Jesus was. Jesus, yeah, I'm Jesus. But that don't mean for you to get your tail out of my assignment. See, sometimes we jump out there and go build a building.
Yes, sir.
Oh,
yes,
come
sir. And now the pandemic. Now you got all them empty chairs and building because we're trying to build one bigger. Who is one? A man wants to build a building, had a tent bigger than old robbers. I mean, just stretching out, just trying to do things, you understand? So let me close with this. Junior, you did a splendid job, son. I'm proud of you. You're preaching the word of God. But I tell you, boy, what really got me is Romans 12. I got to read it. In this messenger Bible. I had not ever looked at it. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Mm. What?
Yes.
Now, how many Christians doing that? Many agree in doing that, we're not fussing, but we revelation coming out. There are some things God wants you to do. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. So everybody say thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I want you to think about just three things God have done for you. Just three things, right quick. Say thank you. Then the second verse, Leroy, really touched me. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Don't let somebody take your mind, you see. Instead, fix your attention on God. Culture has become more powerful than God in some people's life. What somebody else said, more important than what God said. That's what Junior's preaching about. No, let what God said be the most important thing to you. I don't care what nobody else said, what God said. That's what I'm trying to teach people. When you obey God, that's it. All right, I'm almost through. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you. That's a junior message. It's these two verses. And quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you. What? Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. God bring the best out of you. Develop well-formed maturity in you. Yeah, boy. Did you read the third verse too? Man, I'm speaking to you out of deep gratitude for all that God have given me, and especially as I have responsibility in relation to you. Listen, living then, as every one of you does, in pure grace. It's important. Boy, it's powerful. It is important that you not misinterpret yourselves as people who are bringing this goodness to God. Misinterpret yourself. What? Lord, I repent. I misinterpret myself many times. All y'all repent. All y'all online too. Preachers and all. Many times I misinterpret myself. I'm designed to bring you glory and praise. Not what I want. Not Lord, thank you for your grace. Huh? Listen, let me read this again. Living then as every one of you does in pure grace, it's important that you not misinterpret yourself as people who are bringing this goodness to God. No, God brings it all to you. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is. And by what he does for us. That's the only accurate way to understand yourself. But I want to dance now. Let's dance a little bit. Y'all ain't dancing. Come on, get up. God, let me close, man. Leroy, you come back and take over, man, and do the rest of the stuff. Let me read the last part again. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what he does for us, not by what we are and what we do for him. I rest in your presence, God. I honor you, and I thank Junior for that message. And this is so clear. You got to stay a student, Jay. See, I'm a student. See, even though I'm an apostle, but I'll sit there and listen, and I'm teachable. See, you got to stay teachable. Always stay teachable. Always stay reachable when the Spirit of God is moving. So praise God. Tremendous message.